Syracuse.
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 Music.
Music.
Podcast.
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 Moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat me a lot of peaches.
And moving we are. Welcome back to another CNY Music Podcast, this one for the month of May 2009. I am your host, hello out there, my name is Nate. I again write the In Pursuit of the Trivial blog. And without any further ado, let's get right underway with a little bit of CNY music news. Our first bit of news today actually again comes from one of our favorite bands here on the CNY Music Podcast, Syracuse's own Rah Rah Riot. Just a quick hit for you, Rah Rah Riot back on the road this summer. They're touring with Death Cab for Cutie and the Cold War Kids. The closest you're going to see them would be New York City or Philadelphia. But that is not the news itself. The thing that I say go ahead and check out actually comes online, and you can check it out here even in Syracuse. Rah Rah Riot's sound guy, an SU grad, and actually a former colleague of mine, Andrew Morey, has been on tour with the band this summer and has started blogging again about his experiences on the road with the band, their experiences on the road with Death Cab for Cutie, and all the other things. It's a great little blog to check out if you're a Rah Rah Riot fan. You can find it on Blogspot, where it's hosted, and Mari has a lot of pictures of the band, of Death Cab, and of seeing the different sites and all the cities they visited, but also just great little vignettes. One that sticks out in my mind is the April one right before Easter, where they're on the road in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the drummer for Death Cab for Cutie, along with all of his other bandmates, go out and get Easter Bunny costumes. The drummer in particular purchases his, so they're running around the stage in these, and then the very next day, he flies home to surprise his wife and kids as the Easter Bunny. So you can get little insights like that by checking out Andrew Moore's blog. Again, it's hosted on Blogspot. We've got a link up on In Pursuit of the Trivia. So check it out. It's our first quick hit news. But let's move on to the featured piece.
Traces their roots all the way back to the rock, early rock of the 50s, right? And through the Beatles and all that whole lineage. But we've gotten to the point where these groups are so diverse and divergent, and the music, even more so the music itself. You know, there are things off of Kid A, which you'll get if you don't know that album, yeah, which are, you know, so electronically based or aleatoric, we'll talk about that term, that, I mean, it has virtually nothing to do with rock music, right? But still, Radiohead is at its essence a rock band, very much so, right?
Alright, yes, that was a little bit from Radiohead, Subterranean Homesick Alien. But, yeah, if you may be asking yourself, those aren't the lyrics, and you're correct. That's a bit from our big piece of CNY Music News. Quite frankly, I'm in a two-week seminar on Radiohead called The Music of Radiohead here at Syracuse University. And that was a little bit from the lecture on the very first day when we were talking about the roots of Radiohead and how Radiohead kind of defies traditional genres. So, The Music of Radiohead, you may be asking yourself, excuse me? And it's a two-week seminar taught by the Dean of Syracuse University's Visual and Performing Arts College, Dr. Effington, who is a Radiohead fanatic. He's seen them, he owns several rarities, DVDs, all of the normal albums. And just last year he decided to put together this two-week seminar for 4 hours a day where we, as a class, get to experience all the albums, one album a day, analyze song structure and musical composition, also look at lyrical analysis, then talk about some broader topics about their place in the industry, their innovations, messages in their songs, and how that reflected their journey and their experience, because it is unique. Radiohead's immediate rise to stardom, their ability to just change and adapt and continually grow with every album they put out. And myself, I took it because I really wanted to take a pop culture analytical class. I have the two big Radiohead albums, OK Computer and The Bends, and I think it was far long overdue that I got into them a little bit more from those experiences. And so far, the class has been absolutely great. Like I said, the class layout is we're going to go through an album every day. We do a lot of lyrical analysis. We do a lot of talking about how they're innovative with sound, both in the studio and just in songwriting. And then I get a lot of snippets that there's going to be a lot of analyzing Thom Yorke's messages to fans through his lyrics, which seem to be a lot about his kind of interesting, unique journey and his disenchantment with celebrity in the media versus his drive for success and knowing that he has to go through it if he wants the band to be as big as they possibly can be. So, I mean, I'm not going to promise to explain the entire thing to you today. It's only been my first day of class. But there will definitely, most certainly, and absolutely be a post about the class with some more media and things along those lines after it completes this two-week course. So, you know, why is the class being done? Again, Ethington's take on it quick here.
It doesn't matter if it's Radiohead or Beethoven or Stravinsky or Miles Davis. We should always be talking about and thinking about music in the larger picture.
Spoken like a true dean of music college, comparing Radiohead, Stravinsky, and Miles Davis, all connected somehow. And even from the first day of class, we talked a little bit about Radiohead's beginnings with Pablo Honey, and you could see, honestly, some of the stuff he's talking about. I'm going to pull you out with a little bit from that lecture, specifically about Pablo Honey, where he talks about how it really laid the work for future Radiohead, but the album itself was just kind of a straightforward rock album. It was more about individual tracks where they had paid homage to some of the bands they admired, and individual tracks that kind of laid the groundwork for what they were going to do lyrically and musically in the future. For instance, a track like How You Do, paying tribute to some of those British punk bands that they grew up listening to. But the feature track that we talked about was Stop Whispering, which pays tribute to some of those anthemic bands of the early 90s, i.e. U2, but also laid the groundwork for some of that Me Against the World, Me Against the Industry, alienation, stand up and say something because you can't take it anymore type of messaging that we would see from Radiohead just in the next 5 years. So, again, I giggle, but I am adoring it, and the people in this class take it very, very seriously. 2-week seminar on Radiohead that happens in SU. It's a second summer of it. I'll let you know how it is a little bit 2 weeks from now, but something to keep on your radar and hopefully check out in the future. So I'm going to play out with a little bit from the lecture on Pablo Honey.
So if you think of an artist like Jackson Pollock or Picasso or anyone, and then you go back to the beginning of their career, their first paintings, very often they look nothing like what we think of as their famous paintings, right? Jackson Pollock actually did some stuff that was a lot more conventional, and so did Picasso. You know, the Picassos we know have like twisted, you know, noses and ears all over the place, right? But early Picasso is really very representational, but, and here's the analogy to Radiohead. Even though this first song and this first album, Pablo Honey, is basically a very conventional rock album, every song on it is a little different. And a lot of the songs owe themselves to different influences. You know, there's a song that's
influenced by punk. There's this other, there's the one we're going to hear is kind of anthemic rock, you know, big anthem type U2 music. But it's still pretty conventional stuff. It's not, you don't listen to Pablo Honey and think, oh, that's Radiohead in the way we think of the later albums, where they really, you know it's them. It couldn't be anyone else. Okay?
I should warn you, I'm going to say, I know.
Alright, and now it's time for some CNY concert reviews. Past month was actually fairly loaded here in central New York. T-Pain swung through. I know 50 Cent was just this past Sunday, but the two shows I managed to get out to were first Ben Folds here in Syracuse, and then I'll leave the feature review to the imagination, but we'll get there in a second. So, first, Ben Folds. It's actually my third time seeing Ben Folds in concert. And let me tell you, my impression of him every time is just strengthened. The thing I get from Ben Folds when I see him in a show is that he always brings something new for fans who are there to see him, regardless of whether it's your first time seeing Ben Folds or whether it's your second or third time. For instance, your first time seeing Ben Folds, he's always going to do the bit where he will have the crowd sing various parts of his backup vocals. And he did it again this time. It's very fun. Everyone seems to enjoy it. It brings down the house. But for me, it's my second, third time seeing him. I've been there before. He still manages to give me something that leaves me more impressed with him. He will bring out things like Altoid cans and use them in his grand piano to prepare the piano, something called prepared piano. It gives a tingy sound to the music that's going on. He then threw distortion on top of it when he did it this past concert. He also had a multi-percussionist and a horn player with him, which was something I had yet to see. And I know sometimes he plays with the orchestras, sometimes he plays just as a trio, but it's always been different for me when I see Ben Folds. Listening to him on a recording, you'll always get that he's a great musician, that he has great tempo, really a nice punk feel, and that he's a brilliant lyricist. But when you see him live, he manages to give you something new each time out. That's my lasting impression from him. And I gotta say, Ben Folds is always a prepay for me. Get out to see him when he's coming through town. It's a show you can't miss.
Uptown, friends that you know, they are riding for this girl that is spooks about boyfriend.
So good, he's hugging all gonna
Alright, leading us into our featured review, that was a little bit from the band Oppenheimer. They were actually the opening act at the following show. I'm not sure if they're named after the investment group or after the project that we think might have had something to do with nuclear bombs. Either way, great opening act. I was very impressed with them. They are a duo from Ireland, straight off the boat from Dublin. It's a drummer who also sings, and then a guitar, synth, vocoder guy who doubled as an air horn player in one of their songs. Yes, they did have an air horn solo. The positives for them, I like that they do those Tokyo Police Club-like short songs. There was probably nothing over 3 minutes in their entire set. There was even a song that they admitted lasted about 52 seconds. I think another benefit of having a duo that I'm beginning to see from seeing bands like this, seeing bands like Fantagram, even from our main act here, is that that small band number really allows you to be very, very tight with your work, evident by the general pauses they can take and make together, and also just how they change tempos so fluidly, so easily. It's clear that they are on the same wavelength, and it might be easier to do with less band members. I also like that the band brought lots of energy. The drummer plays high, the energy is up, everybody kind of got into them, which I was impressed by. And, I mean, there's some interesting things, such as the stories they tell in between, where he will banter back and forth with the audience, asking if anybody wants him to play Freebird, and then also noting how some of his songs have been written for people such as Allen Ginsberg. So, overall for me, great opening act, Oppenheimer, and my in-studio guest here even said they were among the best opening acts he's ever seen, and well, you're typically cold and heartless when it comes to openers.
We all have hearts.
He uses so few words, yet says so much, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, welcome to the podcast, a former co-GJ of mine at 89.1 FM, Z89 in Syracuse, the one and only Nightshade. How are you?
Please.
Well, you always were the direct one. We can skip the hospitality and get right to the music. So, Nightshade and I recently traveled to see a band most people recall from the mid-90s alt-rock scene, the Presidents of the United States of America, with openers Oppenheimer. They stopped by the newly renovated Westcott Theater.
I'm not endorsing it.
Well, it is a movie theater turned venue, but they did have food, beverage, plenty of space, and an intimate feel. But anyway, yes, those Presidents of the United States of America, the ones who brought you Lump, Peaches, Kitty, Cleveland Rocks, and more. They played all of those to an energetic crowd, and, well, Nightshade, if you only had one word to describe the show, what would you use?
Chaotic.
I can respect that. What about if you got two?
Electric Mayhem.
That's a great jumping-off point. For me, I was incredibly impressed with the band's sound quality live. Tight vocals, they sound like they're right off the album from 10 years ago, even. But what makes the sound even more impressive for me, one, the band was visibly aged, but two, even though they're older, they didn't shortchange you on the energy.
Dr. Teeth and the band.
He really is all smiles, though I'm not sure they call him Dr. Teeth. Lead singer Chris Ballew really stole the show for me. I'm very impressed with how tight his pants were, how high the leg kicks went, but mostly about just how clean and crisp his vocals are 10 years removed from when these albums were really popular. He didn't sag on the Yelps and Kitty. You couldn't tell if he was bored with Lump after all these years.
I wanted to go to that concert so badly.
I mean, I was only lukewarm on the show on the start, but I agree. If I knew what he sounded like ahead of time, I would have signed up for this well in advance. Ballew even gave us some warm, sentimental moments between songs as he was dedicating a few tunes to his girlfriend who continues to travel with the band to this very day.
He has a heart. We all have hearts.
Well, yes, but more heartfelt was that, was when Ballew was reflecting on the gigantic successes the band had, and then kind of went back and forth between that and where they are now, and I think that really flowed well with the set list he created, because it included many songs that we know, the Lumps, the Peaches, but also weaved in some of those new songs off the recent Presidents of the United States albums.
There was that period where he was, Now yeah. I think he's making better music again.
Yeah, though I don't know those albums, and I didn't know them going in, I'll agree. The new President stuff shows the band off a lot. I'm not really familiar with the other two band members. The guitarist might have helped invent those uniquely stringed bass guitar and git bass instruments they do, and the drummer was impressive to me throughout the night.
He wore a blue and black suit, and he'd go around hitting people with sticks.
Again, I'll take your word for it, but on this night, you really got a sense of that tightness we were talking about with the small bands, because the Presidents would just be changing tempos and always have unified breaks, and it was crisp. But the thing that did it for me over the top was just how they would perform in such diverse styles. There was swing aspects, jazz aspects, certainly a lot of blues, but even a little bit of merengue and salsa. I was incredibly surprised by the show, and well, they rocked my face off when I expected to be lulled to sleep.
Exploding over here.
I'm not sure I could have put it more eloquently myself, Nightshade, and so I'm not going to try. That's what we think of the President of the United States concert. They're coming through on a small city tour this summer. I would certainly try and catch them if you have any inkling to see somebody play Lump. They're not going to disappoint you. The rest of their act lives up to it as well. Lots of energy. The crowd really gets into it. President of the United States of America coming to a town near you. And we'll play off from this section with a little bit from the band. And as is traditional here on the CNY Music Podcast, I'm going to end the show just by listing off some of the upcoming tour dates in the next month around the area and let you know what my picks are for the best shows you should be seeing. We're just going to go through right by town, and I'll leave those featured shows for the end. So first, if you're feeling like traveling up to Buffalo, hitting the Anchor Bar and seeing a show, there's at least three big acts worth seeing in the next month. One of them, however, is a feature, so we'll save that for a second. We've got Heart, the classic rock group, on Saturday, May 16th at Niagara Falls, and then May, the kind of alternate emo rock. They're kind of tough to describe. Note the link. They were one of my first music reviews ever. They will be playing in Buffalo on Sunday, May 24th. Heading over to Rochester, you've got the 90s hard rockers Korn on 5/18, which is a Monday, and then another featured concert that we'll be holding off for in just a second. In Syracuse, you got Third Eye Blind playing Turning Stone Casino on 5/19. Big Bad Voodoo Daddy playing the week before on 5/14. It's a Thursday, also at the same venue. Canada, hopping as usual. In the upcoming months, they've got Animal Collective on Saturday, May 16th. They've got Santa Gold playing in Toronto / Montreal on Wednesday and Thursday, June 3rd and June 4th. And also TV on the Radio Tuesday, June 2nd in Toronto. For some of the random cities throughout central New York that are worth checking out, Straylight Run playing in Albany on May 22nd, Rusted Root playing Saranac on May 30th, George Clinton just next week, Thursday, May 14th at Clifton Park, Buckcherry on May 22nd in Poughkeepsie, and then let's get over to the featured acts. Back to that one in Buffalo. On Wednesday, June 3rd, Nine Inch Nails coming through town, Trent Reznor and crew. They just had that album they released online that got a lot of buzz. I'm sure they'll play some of their old favorites as well. And if you missed Nine Inch Nails, you know, during the 90s when high schools were wearing black Nine Inch Nails t-shirts and you thought they were a hardcore band, take a listen to their sound, check out the link on the blog. They are definitely worth catching live. They've got a very, very modern techno, technology-driven sound that is very appealing today. Back to Rochester. On Thursday, May 21st, the Rochester Philharmonic is performing the Planet Suite. I'm going to actually play us out with some planets in just a minute here. But if any of you were high school band nerds, such as myself, high school symphony nerds, high school marching band, you are probably familiar with Gustav Holst. The Planet may be his most well-known piece, and it's also in a Reese's commercial. So it's worth checking out. I'm sure they'll do a good job with it. It's a Philharmonic up in Rochester playing the Planets on Thursday, May 21st. Finally, two more shows for you at the end of the month and the beginning of June. In Hunter, New York, just a small 3-hour drive away, the DJ mashup artist Girl Talk, again, around Central New York. If you checked out last month's podcast, you'll know we give him rave reviews. Definitely worth going to make the drive to see Girl Talk. It's an experience you can only truly understand by experiencing, and I highly recommend it. We will probably be out there, so listen up for some Girl Talk talk next month. And finally, in Canandaigua on June 2nd, classic rock, ambient, Talking Heads lead singer David Byrne coming to Canandaigua. It's an outdoor venue. You can get tickets for pretty cheap. It's on a Tuesday night in June. But how often do you get to see David Byrne? He came through last year, actually, at the Landmark Theater. But otherwise, the chances are usually slim. Check it out. David Byrne, Canandaigua, on Tuesday, June 2nd. So, thanks for listening here on the CNY Music Podcast. Tune in next month again for more from us. And like I said, we're going to play out with some Holst Planet Suite here in the CNY Music Podcast.
Thank you.